You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett.
And I'm Veronica Rickert.
We take a look at the heroes of science now with Gemma Tarlak. From household names to forgotten figures and unsung heroes, Discover Magazine profiled some of the biggest contributors to scientific discovery in their May issue.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Who do you think are the biggest heroes in science? What about the lesser known names? And what scientific contributions do you think are the most important in your book? What discoveries do you think maybe deserve more attention? Call with your nominations at 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Gemma Tarlak is with us now. She's a senior editor at Discover Magazine based in Waukesha. Gemma, welcome back.
Hello, and happy science to you both.
And to you. Well, we'll get into some of the maybe not so big names. Let's start with sort of a hypothetical Mount Rushmore of science that you talked about at Discover. Who makes the cut?
Well, obviously, you've got to put Einstein on there. I mean, you know, fair enough, right? He's the only household physicist with a household name. And obviously, Marie Curie, Isaac Newton, and Charles Darwin. It was kind of hard picking only four people, but keeping to the Rushmore idea, those were the four we went with.
My sense is that of those four, that Marie Curie has gotten more attention as the years go on. Do you think that science is starting to uncover some of these women contributors and give them more of their due?
Yeah, I think, I would argue Marie kind of got her due. Her career was unfortunately cut short, probably by her career. Most of us know that she probably perished from exposure throughout her career to extreme radiation. But, you know, she is the first woman to win a Nobel, and she is the only person to win Nobels in two different sciences. So I think a lot of people are pretty familiar with, if not the details of her, with just the fact that she is a true giant in science. And I think more and more, as science itself becomes more diverse, we're hearing more and more about the scientists who were not, Victorian era guys who made a difference.
And you also write about Albert Einstein, kind of a rock star. He started the first, or he was the cause of the first, how did you put it, the first science riot? And he wasn't even there?
And it's actually, I got to give props to the Chicago Tribune. They were the ones who called it the first science riot in history. But in 1930, there was a film, not even Einstein, present, as you mentioned, but they were just showing a film about Einstein and his general theory of relativity. And way more people showed up than they had room for. And people were, knocking down the doors and shoving and trampling and everything. So it was a science mob for sure.
And let's talk a little bit about Sir Isaac Newton. I hadn't realized he was such a colorful character, although I think he's the one that you write that he was generally regarded as being very unpleasant to be around. And he lectured to nobody. He just wanted to be in lecture mode. Tell us a little bit about him.
Well, my colleague Bill Andrews wrote all about Isaac Newton, who's kind of one of his personal heroes, but I must say that Bill is far more pleasant to be around. But yeah, Isaac Newton, he did not take criticism well. He didn't really have any friends. He was just kind of his own, kind of like Batman, his own superhero, doing his thing, not really wanting help from anybody else. But yeah, he would show up to give a lecture when he was at Cambridge, and if no student showed up, didn't matter. He still gave the lecture. He didn't do anything halfway.
Much like my band, we'll play even if nobody shows up. And then kind of a different personality to round out the four, Charles Darwin, mild-mannered guy, not the sort of person you necessarily expect to have this earth-shaking discovery.
Yeah, Darwin was a family guy. He was just kind of this enthusiast for nature. And then when he went on this five-year trip around the world, fortunately, he was such a gifted observer. And I might say that is a thread that runs through all of our heroes of science. They're really called out as gifted observers. And Darwin in particular really started noticing, hey, I'm seeing as I go from one coast to another on this great voyage, I'm seeing these strange similarities. And he put it all together during this five-year trip when he was in his 20s, but he actually waited another 20 years to gather even more information and build a stronger case and make sure that he was sure of it before he went public with his theories.
And Gemma, there was a surprising connection between two of the people on your list, Charles Darwin, we just talked about, but also Francis Beaufort. What was the connection?
Yeah, you know, Francis Beaufort is one of our unsung heroes. We singled out about eight of them. And Beaufort did a lot for science, and he's a fascinating figure in and of itself. But one of my favorite things about him is that in 1831, Captain Robert Fitzroy said, hey, I'm going to go survey the coasts of South America. Of course, he didn't sound like that because he was British, so he sounded much more elegant. But anyway, he said, hey, I'm going to go sail around South America. Can you recommend someone to come with me, someone who, you know, would basically be a good companion for the voyage? And Beaufort says, why don't you take this guy? His name is Charles Darwin. And the ship was, of course, the Beagle. And, you know, history was written. So,
and Beaufort himself known for lots of stuff, right?
Yeah, well, he's, of course, known for the Beaufort scale, and that's how we classify wind force. He also developed a system of notation for the weather, and he really made understanding the weather a top priority. He also made hydrography a top priority in terms of understanding the coastline, understanding where you don't want to put your ship or your boat. And probably this came from the fact that when he was 13 years old, he was in the British Royal Navy on his very first voyage with the Navy to China. The ship foundered because they hit some rocks, ship went down, and he and the rest of the crew spent 5 days on the open water before being rescued. So I think that has something to do with him really being conscious of weather conditions and just the coasts and where, again, not to put your ship.
We're talking to Gemma Tarlac right now from Discover Magazine, talking about heroes of science, both sung heroes and unsung heroes. And Gemma, one that surprised me was that there was a single creator of the scientific method. I sort of assumed that this had evolved with many contributors, but not so.
Yeah, and it actually goes all the way back to the mid-10th century. In what's now Iraq, this incredible, incredible mind. English speakers know him basically as Alhazen. I am not going to attempt his name because it is very long and I will embarrass myself, but let's just call him Alhazen. And he wrote more than 100 books on physics, on mathematics, on astronomy. And he was actually the first one to explain why when we look at the moon in the sky, if it's down near the horizon, it looks so much bigger than when it's way above us, even though the size doesn't actually change. He was the first that we know of to figure this out, why this illusion happens. But he was really into testing. He wanted to test results. And he also felt it was very important to question any scientist who had gone before him, to question those conclusions, see if you could kind of pick them apart. And that's really the heart of the scientific method. You observe, you hypothesize, you experiment, you tweak your hypothesis, you tweak those experiments, and you repeat, and you're always questioning, always trying to pick apart your conclusions to see if you can improve them. And he was really the first one that we know of, that we have records of, who said, yeah, this is how you've got to do it. You can't accept the status quo. You always have to be, as he put it, making yourself an opponent of everything that has been written before, and trying to find that weak spot and pick it apart.
Well, turning to another unsung hero, I know you're a big fan of dinosaurs, Gemma, and fossils. And you've talked to us, I think, before about Mary Anning. She found lots of fossils, and a lot of those fossils ended up being named after the men who bought the fossils from Mary Anning.
Yeah, and not just named after them, but, you know, when you donate a fossil to a museum collection, say, the name that's recorded is the guy who owned the fossil. And Mary Anning, you know, one of the things I love about her is I'm a huge Jane Austen fan, and I like to think of the same time that, you know, the Bennet sisters were running around looking for husbands, Mary Anning was out there with a pick and a shovel clinging to a sea cliff, just like, I'm going to get this bone, you know? And that's what she did. She hunted for fossils. And she sold them to enthusiasts, to collectors, to scientists. And she wasn't just someone who, like, found stuff and sold it, though. She really had an incredible understanding of the anatomy of these animals. And so she really kind of helped out unofficially on a lot of the scientific research, but was very rarely credited.
Let's take a caller now. We've got Justin joining us in Sauk City. Justin, hi.
Hey.
Who did you want to nominate?
Hey, I wanted to nominate J. Fraser Stoddart, who won the 2016 Nobel Prize in Chemistry, won that for discovering the mechanical bond, which is a completely new type of I guess, chemical bond. One of the only, I would say there's maybe three or four stretching the definition of chemical bond in existence. And he discovered one along with Ben Feringa and Jean-Pierre Sauvage.
Terrific,
very
Justin.
Cool.
Thank you. Those are not specifically discoveries that were on my radar, but it's important to remember that every piece of knowledge helps, and these are big contributions to the scientific world. Gemma, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, the one thing, I kind of wish that we had recorded our meetings about who to put in this Heroes of Science issue, because I won't say it was knockdown, drag out, brawling, but people felt really passionate about it. And the wonderful thing about science is that there are so many people out there just absolutely devoting their lives to it who are doing this great work. And, you know, they're not household names. They're not Einsteins, but their contributions are just as important. So thanks, Justin, for cluing us into another one.
Justin, thanks a lot. As we talk to Gemma Tarlak from Discover Magazine, talking about Heroes of Science.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Who stands out to you in the world of science? If you are in the sciences yourself, is there somebody who inspired you, your role model in the science world? Who should be at the top of our minds who maybe isn't when it comes to science? What are the biggest discoveries, the most important ones? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll pick up our conversation and get to your calls in just a little bit. Stay with us here on Central Time.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. And we're getting back to our discussion now with Gemma Tarlak of Discover Magazine, talking about heroes and unsung heroes of science.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. There's the big names, the Einsteins, the Curies, the Newtons, the Darwins. What about the names that aren't as well known? Is there an unsung scientific hero that you wish people knew more about? If you teach or work in the sciences, is there a scientific name that's captured your attention? Call in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And Jim, I want to talk about one of the inclusions on your list that would definitely have counted as unsung until very recently, and that name is Henrietta Lacks. And we have a clip. This is actually becoming a feature starring Oprah Winfrey as the daughter of Henrietta Lacks. Here it is.
For years, it seemed like a dream. About our mother, could this be true? What you don't understand is we didn't know nothing about nothing.
Scientists had been trying to get cells to grow outside of the human body, but they would always die. Until Henrietta's cells came along.
Henrietta's cells came along, became known as HeLa cells. Gemma, tell us about Henrietta Lacks.
Yeah, and you know, we have her in our unsung heroes for a couple of reasons. Number one, as you kind of heard in the clip, she was the first person who's contributed cells to cell lines that actually they survived, and they were used in literally tens of thousands of experiments. But at the same time, you know, these cells were just taken without her knowledge, without her consent, without her family. No one knew. The researcher just took the cells and went on to make them, I would say, one of the key elements in experiments for a lot of different fields. And there was never really any acknowledgement, recognition of her incredible contribution to advancing our understanding in cancer, in biology, in so many different ways. And so it was really in 2010 when Rebecca Skloot wrote The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks that it brought her story out to the public. But, you know, even after that, like in 2013, researchers published the HeLa genome with personal information, personal genetic information that, you know, it was Lacks' genetic history, and it was also that of her descendants without, you know, any concern for privacy. And so we shed a light on Henrietta Lacks and acknowledge her as one of the unsung heroes of science, in part just for her incredible contribution, which she never even knew she made this incredible contribution. She died at only 31 from cervical cancer. But at the same time, you know, there are other people out there. Before science really wised up to understanding consent and protecting privacy, there are other people out there who have made similar contributions that we'll never know their names, probably. So we wanted to spotlight Henrietta, absolutely, and also remind readers that she wasn't the only sort of pioneer without even knowing it to really advance our understanding and help us make this world that we have today.
Go back to our callers now as we talk about heroes of science, well-known or unsung, with Gemma Tarlak from Discover Magazine. Elizabeth is with us in Fish Creek. Elizabeth, hi.
Hi. Lynn Margulis, who is strangely absent from our study of biology, who first really described and identified symbiogenesis, which is crucial. It's the engine of creation in evolution. And instead, we still speak so much about Darwinian evolution, which really just describes the engine of elimination. And so for some strange reason, you know, this is a woman who is mocked, derided, lost her chair as a professor when she came forth with her theories. And then when we developed the ability to do genomic mapping, darn it, that old crazy Lynn was right. So for some reason, she's ignored, which drives me batty.
Elizabeth, thanks for the call. Gemma, is this a common story as you look at unsung heroes in science?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, one of the universal things we found, sort of all of our heroes of science really, again, gifted observers, that was particularly notable about them. But we found with our unsung heroes, and even some of the not-so-unsung heroes, they were up against the establishment, up against conventional thinking. A lot of them were, again, mocked and derided, as our caller Elizabeth mentioned. They were set, you know, told, you're crazy, it'll never work, you're nuts. And it turns out that, yeah, they were on to something.
Elizabeth, thanks a lot for that call. And we're going to go next to Jim calling from Rice Lake. Jim, hi.
Hi, I'd like to acknowledge two often unknown giants, Professors Crick and Watson. Crick from Cambridge University, Watson from Trinity College, Dublin, who discovered this little-known thing is known as the human genome and DNA, which may have ramifications for centuries to come.
Jim, thank you for that. And Gemma, you will, I think, see Jim, his Crick and Watson, also raise them and another contributor there.
Yeah, and in fact, we do mention Crick and Watson's contributions, but we also mention the contributions even more often overlooked of Rosalind Franklin, who Crick and Watson's discoveries would not have been possible without her, and she was really passed over in terms of recognition. And unfortunately, she passed away in the prime of her career, very young, and so she was not around to really enjoy the recognition when it finally came her way years later.
Thanks for the call. Go next to Molly on the line in Milwaukee. Molly, hi.
Hi. I'd like to nominate a whole entire profession of unsung heroes in healthcare known as medical laboratory professionals. These would be our medical laboratory scientists, histotechnologists, phlebotomists, pathologists. It's actually National Medical Laboratory Professional Week, and this is a whole area of healthcare where they're providing test results to give information about the diagnosis and treatment about more over 70% of laboratory or healthcare decisions out there. So the whole profession in general.
Molly, thanks for the call. And Gemma, that's a lot of science isn't the lone genius, coming up with the eureka moment. It's a lot of people doing little bits and pieces and having it build up over time.
Absolutely. And you know, a lot of the times, a lot of the big discoveries may get attached to a specific scientist's name. But when you dig a little deeper, you find that, oh, that person was actually the head of a lab. And in that lab, there were 20, 30, 40 sort of unsung heroes. And yeah, I'm absolutely right. They were preparing the slides. They were reviewing the data. They were inputting the data, just doing all of the work that absolutely has to be done and is absolutely unglamorous. So absolutely tip of the hat to them.
And Jem, I want to read about a comment from our Central Time Facebook page, a local hero of science that came up there, Fran Hammerstrom. Someone writes about a naturalist, ornithologist, and writer in Wisconsin, lived from 1908 to 1998, and was the only woman to study wildlife under Aldo Leopold. And her legacy lives on in over 100 publications, 10 books, and in the trails she blazed for women in wildlife biology. I know you have John Muir included as part of your list. What about Fran Hammerstrom?
Unfortunately, we don't have her. We do have Alda Leopold as one of the great sort of explainers, one of the scientists who did not just do research, but also got that research out in the public eye. And I love learning about more of these scientists. Again, we had a tough time narrowing down what would fit in the pages we have for this story.
And Gemma, we're just about out of time. You got to share one of your favorites, though, Marie Tharp.
Yes, I absolutely love Marie Tharp. She was a geologist and a cartographer. She passed away in 2006, but not before she really kind of wrote the map on what we think of the ocean floor. She was not allowed on the research vessels. She had to work from her lab, from her desk, but crunching the data, she figured out this incredibly rich landscape at the bottom of our oceans. And in mapping it out, she also noticed the first signs of what we would understand as plate tectonics. So she did a lot of work, and she was universally regarded as a fun and fiery and feisty person. So that makes me love her even more.
Mm, and Gemma, in our last 20, 30 seconds, anyone else you want to give a shout-out to from your list?
Oh, my gosh. There are so many people. You know, especially huge, huge thanks to those scientists who bring their work and the work of others to the public eye. You know, there's so many stars in science, the well-knowns like Neil deGrasse Tyson, Richard Dawkins, Jane Goodall, Stephen Jay Gould, but also there's so many other scientists up and coming like Carl Hart and Emily Grassley, people who are on YouTube and podcasting and really sharing the next generation of scientific achievements with the world, and they do a great job.
Gemma, thanks so much for being with us today. It's been fun.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
We've been talking to Gemma Tarlak, senior editor at Discover Magazine, based in Waukesha, talking about their feature, Science Heroes, Heroes of Science, the big names, sure, and also a lot of unsung heroes. You can keep sharing your contributions, by the way, over at the Central Time Facebook page and see what some other people have to say as well. Who stands out for you in the world of science, famous or otherwise? Head over to the Central Time Facebook page.